The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
What feels like many, many years ago, I was enjoying a short vacation in my family's cabin up in Maine. The cabin was tucked away on the edge of North Pond, and while it was only a few rooms, it was very homely and no neighbors for miles in all directions. My parents would take me and my sisters back when I was just a little boy, and although I didn't much enjoy it at the time, it was a place that I gravitated back towards later on in life. At first, I'd drive up there just to clear my head, but after a while, I started heading out on solo hikes and reliving some of those childhood vacations. So, I was up at the cabin. I'd been hiking all day, and after dinner, I was just about ready to sleep. It had been a quiet night, save for the occasional creak of the wooden beams as they settled into the cool main air, and I'd fallen asleep early, but then around midnight, I woke up startled, my senses prickling with the unmistakable feeling that something was very wrong. And at first I thought that it might have just been the wind blowing through the trees outside. But what I heard next didn't quite match the rhythm of the swaying trees. I listened harder, hearing my own heartbeat in my ears as the noise shifted to something more distinct, the unmistakable creak of a floorboard. Someone was inside the cabin with me. I remember just freezing and lying totally motionless in the bed while I listened and tried to figure out what to do. The thought of another person inside sent a chill down my spine, and I knew that I had to do something. So I slowly slipped out of bed, careful to keep the mattress from squeaking.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And after putting on my pants and boots, I reached for the flashlight that I kept on the bedside table, and I remember seeing my own hand shaking as I went to grab it. Clicking on it felt like too great of a risk, so I kept it off, grabbing it tightly as I moved toward the door. I'd use it if I really needed it, but until then, I needed to not be seen. The sound of rummaging came from the kitchen. Pots clinked together softly, drawers open and closed, and whoever it was, they weren't in a hurry, but they also didn't sound like they were afraid of being caught either. My car was outside, so it's not like they could have made a mistake and assumed the place was empty, in which case, were they crazy? Was I safe? Or what were they looking for? My pulse pounded in my ears as I crept down that hall, each step louder in my head than the last as it seemed to go on and on forever. When I reached the corner where the hall opened into the kitchen, I paused and took a deep breath. I then leaned forward just enough to peek around the edge of the wall. And then I saw him. A man stood in the dark kitchen, and his back was to me. He moved quickly but carefully, inspecting the contents of my cabinets and setting aside items that he probably deemed worthy of taking. It was dark, but there was enough moonlight coming through the window for me to see that he wore layers of these tattered clothes and that his hair was very unkempt and his beard was wild. He was also very skinny, like he was sick or didn't eat much, and his movements were eerily calm for someone shifting through a stranger's home. I wanted to say something, to demand that he leave, but the words just got caught in my throat. There was something about him, this overwhelming sense that he wasn't normal, that made him feel less like a person and more like, I don't know, a creature. If there's a black bear eating chicken bones out of your trash, you can't just ask it to leave, and if you approach it, it might just eat your damn face off. And that's exactly what it felt like looking at this guy in my kitchen. I tightened my grip around this heavy flashlight until my knuckles ached from the force, I'm not even joking. And I told myself, if he comes for me when I yell at him, I'm going to hit him with this. And I was just in the process of coming up with something very scary to yell at him when he turned. And for a brief, terrifying moment, we made eye contact. His eyes were piercing, but he didn't seem angry or scared. He just looked tired, like he didn't have a single F left to give. He didn't speak. He didn't try and attack me. He didn't even seem startled to see me standing there. Instead, he just looked at me in a way that I found completely unreadable, and I froze again. My heart was absolutely hammering against my ribs by then, and I braced myself for him to do something. Anything aggressive or threatening, but he didn't. He just turned back to his task and selected a few more items, stuff like a jar of peanut butter, a loaf of bread, and a half-eaten pack of crackers. And then when he was finished, he kind of scooped everything into a bag that he had with him and walked towards the back door of the cabin, which I guess was how he got in there in the first place. He opened the door and slipped silently into the night, disappearing into the dark as if though I'd never even seen him in the first place. I stood there for what felt like hours, the flashlight feeling heavy in my hand as my breathing and heart rate returned to normal. The house was creepily still, and the only evidence that he'd even been there was the disarray in my kitchen and the open door swinging gently in the breeze. The next morning, after a sleepless night spent securing the cabin and wondering if he'd return, I learned his name, or rather, the name he'd been given by the locals, the North Pond Hermit. I only found out later that his real name was Christopher Thomas Knight, and for nearly 3 decades, he'd lived in the woods around North Pond, surviving off what he could scavenge and steal. He disappeared into the Maine wilderness in the mid-80s sometime, turning his back on society entirely, I guess, but no one really ever knew why. Some people talked about him trying to escape something, like a traumatic event or something of that nature. Others believed that he just wanted to be left alone, so he could live out his days in peace away from a society he never understood and who never really understood him either. Over the years, he became something of a local legend. He'd slip into cabins and campsites, taking only what he'd needed, food, clothing, tools and stuff, but he never caused harm and he never left a trace beyond what he'd taken. People spoke of him with a mix of fear and fascination, unable to figure him out, but somehow understanding of him, and he kept on living that life of raiding cabins and homes until he finally got caught sometime in 2013. I heard he told the cops that he'd managed to survive 27 years without lighting a single fire, and did all his cooking on stolen propane tanks. His arrest made headlines, and everyone was talking about him, but all I could think when I saw his picture was, "Holy crap, it's you." When I think back to that night, I'm haunted not by what he did, but what he looked like. I saw what I think was a great emptiness in his eyes, like all the humanity was drained out of him. But at the same time, he wasn't there to hurt me. He was simply trying to survive. And even now, years later, I sometimes wake in the middle of the night convinced that I've heard the creak of a floorboard or the rustle of a cabinet door. I'll get up, check the locks, and peer out into the night, wondering if he's still out there, moving silently through the trees, like a ghost in the darkness. I'll be the first to admit that I used to be a major asshole. I used to make a living as an armed robber. No joke. And I was mostly targeting big chains with cash that was on site. This is sort of a confession. Their employees never gave a crap to really do anything, whereas you rob a mom and pop shop, and you tend to get less mom and more pop, 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 if you know what I mean. I'm trying to make light of it, but either way, I robbed places because I was addicted to heroin. I did just about anything and everything I could get my hands on, but my main thing was H, and to get it, I had to roll with some pretty terrible people. It wasn't so bad if I was around my home turf. I knew the right places to go and the right people to talk to. But whenever I was off on business, which tended to be frequent as you don't want to poop where you eat, as they say, I had to attach myself to certain other folks if I wanted to get what I needed. And I mean it, man. I rolled with some very scary dudes back in the day, but none as scary as Tyran and Lash DeFore. The one and only time I met one of them was when I was down in Georgia, running drugs for some biker gang down there. The DeFores used to make this really killer meth, military-grade shit.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
But they only ever sold in bulk from this compound that they had out in the sticks. And they only ever met you in this one place, away from their cookhouse so no one could find it. It was hard to get a hold of them, even harder to put an order in for a shipment, as they usually sold everything to this group of guys down in Florida to keep their profile low. But this one time, I get told to drive out to that drop site and wait until either Tyran or Lash showed up with the shipment. And so, I drive out to the place, wait there a while, and then this big shirtless dude comes walking out of the woods carrying a backpack. The dude is covered in tattoos with what looked like a really bad hair dye job, but what I later learned was the fumes from him cooking so much bleaching his hair. Anyway, he walks up, looking like I'm something that he found on his shoe, and we make the exchange before he starts asking about people that I'd never even heard of. And the dude was completely whacked out on something, because he kept, like, staring at me in confusion whenever I'd say, "Dude, I don't know who you're talking about here, sorry." He seemed, like, mad at first, like I was lying to him or something, but then, on his last name, he just started laughing as if to be like, "Whatever, dude." And after that, he walked off back into the woods to wherever the hell his compound was, and I drove back to the shop to drop the shipment and collect my payment. A couple of hours later, I'm linking up with a buddy of mine to score some H when I start telling him about the creepy spacey dude that I met out in the woods. The second I get to telling him about this guy's tattoos, he starts asking if I knew the guy's name. Then when I told him it was either Tyran or Lash, he starts making faces as if to say, "Hot damn, you just walked into the lion's den and only got out again by the grace of God." And my buddy then goes about telling me about everything he knows about the Dufour brothers, and everything he'd heard anyway. So these Dufour brothers lived out there in the woods in some hidden compound that they'd built with their own hands, completely off the grid. It was just a lab cookhouse at first, and all the necessary equipment, but I guess they got sick of driving to and from all the time, and decided to just live out there full time so they could work whatever they wanted to, day or not, without any interruptions whatsoever. And according to the guy I hooked up afterwards to score some H with, the way the Dufour brothers guaranteed no interruptions was to booby-trap the surrounding area with the kinds of stuff that you only see in Vietnam movies. Spike pits, swing and trigger traps, and they even had tripwire grenades strung up in the trees where only Lash or Tyran could see them. I was told that every so often a deer would trigger one of the traps, and that mostly that's how they got their food. But to keep the people at bay, the Dufours had to get a little more creative. The devil traps, I heard them called bird traps too, they look like those little stick men things from the Blair Witch movie. I don't know how creepy people would find them these days, that movie's 25 years old now, but they sure would have worked on anyone who'd seen that movie. I remember listening to all that and thinking, sure, they sound dangerous, but at least they just want to be left alone. Well, the Dufour brothers did want to be left alone, but only during working hours. The trouble was, they weren't exactly the men-about-town types. Both had multiple warrants, so they couldn't exactly stroll into town for a few cocktails without cops throwing their butts in jail. So instead of going to the party, the Dufours brought the party to them. And they were swimming in cash, crystal, they sold LSD, so they used to get a whole bunch of girls out there to spend a few days with them whenever they wanted to party. Professionals, you know what I'm saying? They were there to smoke bowls and get paid, but they always got way, way more than they bargained for. No girl ever went twice. They wouldn't. They had to get these new girls in, ignorant ones, or ones who knew that they could spend a few days getting high as a kite, if they could only put up with Tyran and Lash's proclivities, I'll just say. My buddy said that he didn't know exactly what they used to get up to, but that he had heard from one girl that the Dufour brothers liked scaring girls that they had delivered to him. They used to dose him up with a bunch of drugs, and then do all kinds of things to him, try to make him lose their minds. I heard some really weren't ever the same again, and that some of them disappeared afterwards, wanting to get as far away from the Dufour brothers as possible. I heard they were into some weird religious stuff out there too, something like Santeria, but probably a lot more like devil worship by the sounds of it. Supposedly, Lash and Tyran used to get high as hell, light fires, cut the heads off of animals they trapped, and then drink the blood in these messed up, meth-fueled ritual-type binges. They had all kinds of old books lying around on witchcraft and Satanism and how you can, like, open up portals with your mind if you think on it real hard. All kinds of crazy crap like that. I think Lash had all sorts of devil tattoos, too. Like, it wasn't just a style thing for him. They really believed it. I mean, they always said those boys were crazy. And with all the drugs and crystal meth out there, I can believe they smoked themselves onto another friggin' planet. Another time, someone had to go back to their compound for some reason, and after avoiding all the booby traps and all of that, they found Lash Dufour had a friend with him. Whoever it was hadn't seen this new friend around before, which was weird because it was usually only people they really trusted that ever saw the compound, and he'd been working with them for a year by then, so that was to be expected. But then, to see this young-looking kid, maybe 19 or 20, sitting there all whacked out looking like he was having a bad trip, that gave our visitor all kinds of bad vibes, especially when he saw how Lash was messing with him. The kid didn't seem like he was having fun at all, and he even got up and tried to get away. Lash just started laughing, tripped the kid up, and then threw him back on their outdoor couch before telling him to stay put. Lash was always messing with people like that, I mean. He loved doing it with hookers, and he'd do it with his friends, too. And the only thing was, the kid's face was on the news for weeks afterwards. It went missing, and never showed up again. Then there was this one time these two guys tried screwing the DeFore brothers over. Very sly, too, slipping them a few fake bills into a stack. Anyway, it didn't slip by them. But instead of going after him and taking what was theirs up front, the DeFore brothers pretended not to notice. They went along with it, really made the guys that they were selling to, making them think that they were idiots. And then one day, the boys invite their business partners over for a few drinks and no one ever sees them again. I heard Tyran still talks about their skulls, like he gets all messed up on whatever they got over there and then just stares at them, laughing sometimes like they're telling him jokes that no one else can hear. After my buddy finishes telling me about the DeFore brothers, I think about every hair on my body was stood up on end, knowing I'd avoided a similar fate to some of the other poor folks that had made it out near their compound. Made me real glad that I only ever had to deal with them that one time, because get on those boys' bad side and I don't think I'd ever gone anywhere near the state of Georgia ever again. There's some real psychos out there in the world, and the less time you spend around them, the better.
Hey guys, thanks so much for all the support. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please feel free to do so.
During the early 2000s, I was incarcerated in the county jail for a crime that I had committed. The details of the crime are not relevant now, but what is important is the experience that I went through. It was my first time being locked up, and the whole ordeal was incredibly daunting and uncomfortable. The prison facility was filled with all kinds of individuals who had committed all manner of crimes.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Some were there for minor offenses, while others had committed the most severe crimes imaginable. The environment was tense, and I remember feeling like I was constantly on edge. Every little sound or movement from another inmate would make me jump. It was a challenging time for me, and I had to adjust to a new way of life in order to survive. The daily routine of the prison was monotonous and regimented. Every day was the same. There was no sense of time passing. I spent most of my time in my cell, which was small and cramped. Despite the difficulties, I tried my best to stay positive and focus on my eventual release. I began to read more and write letters to my loved ones outside of prison. These activities helped me to maintain my sanity and cope with the harsh reality of my situation. A particular group of inmates had formed a dominating faction among the prison population. Their presence was always a cause of great concern for me, as they would often prey upon the weaker prisoners. Avoiding their attention was no easy task and required me to constantly stay vigilant and alert. However, despite the challenges, I was able to keep myself hidden from their watchful eyes and avoid becoming a target of their aggression. The water taps in the prison were a bit unique. I would notice the constant stream of steam emanating from them. The water was boiling hot, reaching temperatures of about 190 degrees, and inmates used them as a means to make simple meals for themselves. Without the luxury of kitchen appliances or the option of heating up their food in a microwave, they relied on these taps to cook their meals. On this particular day, I decided to make myself a bowl of soup and was on my way to fetch some water from the tap when I heard a loud scream that made me jump in fright. The suddenness of the scream caught me off guard, and I immediately turned to find its source, but I saw nothing out of the ordinary. The prison was a place of constant noise, but this was different. The scream had an urgency to it, and it made me feel uneasy. I thought maybe I heard things, and the scream would be some inmate just shouting for no reason. So I proceeded to get water. But when I reached there, my eyes landed on a horrifying scene. One of the inmates was lying on the floor screaming in pain, while another, who was part of that scary group, was beating the shit out of him. Initially, I thought it was just a regular fight, but when my eyes fell upon the wet burn mark on the screaming inmate, a sense of terror washed over me. My mind kept telling me to run away and avoid getting seen by that scary man, but my legs were not listening. They had completely frozen in horror. I remember the man slowly raising his head and giving me this cold, dead look as he stopped kicking the other man. And it was so intimidating that I felt I would literally piss my pants. But before anything else could happen, someone called the guards and they rushed inside before taking both of them away. Probably the injured one was taken to a hospital, but I have absolutely no idea where they took the other inmate. A few days passed since that incident, and the environment of the prison had gotten a bit more bearable than it used to be. The injured guy had returned after getting his burns treated, but weirdly enough, I hadn't seen the man who attacked him. Wherever he was taken, he was probably still there. More days passed, and it was the day when I was getting a visit from my lawyer. As they were taking me there, we passed this pathway that looked like a hallway. A few officers were carrying a corpse from the other end, and as I passed through, I took a glance at it. Even though the face was covered with white cloth, there was no mistaking about whose arms I had seen those unique patterns of tattoos on. I didn't know what happened to my fellow inmate, but I remember gulping in fear so hard, and the officer taking me gave me a weird glance. I begged my lawyer the entire time he was there to get me out of this place, but he kept repeating the same sentence, "I'm doing everything I can." It was almost as like he was not listening to what I was saying. I was this close to strangling him out of frustration if he were to say that one more time, but I controlled the urge to do that. That evening, when we were eating, I saw the guy who was burned with bandages wrapped around his body. He was laughing and mocking one of the new inmates. For some reason, I couldn't help but feel an evil aura emitting from him. This was strange since he was the victim, but again, I didn't know the complete picture of what transpired there. The cocky smirk on his face, as he conversed with one of the dangerous criminals, was enough to send shivers down my body. There were two things I was sure of. One, whatever made the other guy pour hot water on this creepy-looking dude, I'm sure he was at fault. And two, I knew I needed to stay as far away from that guy until I got out of this hellhole, even though I wasn't sure what was in store for me for the next 7 years I had to spend here.
I grew up in Ohio in the 70s, and me and my childhood friend Joe were outside all the time we could manage it. Joe lived on a farm that bordered a pretty big forest, and my parents would drop me off in the morning, and we'd stay in the woods all weekend. We'd only come out for school. We loved pretending we were frontiersmen. We'd build shelters, traps, practice making fire with sticks, the whole nine yards. When we got to be in high school, we got the notion to pull a Stand By Me. This is based in movie of the same name that just come out. The idea was that we'd walk the railroad track out into the country. But instead of looking for a body, we'd find cool bridges to fish from, and a camp a little ways off the tracks. Of course, we knew this was dangerous, and we'd likely be trespassing, but we were kids. We had a lot of fun. We did find beautiful rivers, we discovered bridges. No one went till we fished, we hid from the trains. At night, we camped in the woods just near the tracks and made small hidden fires. Nothing bad ever happened. It was idyllic. In fact, it was so fun. We did it multiple times, never had a problem. After high school, me and Joe went our own ways. We both left home, but always stayed in touch and always tried to coordinate visits so we'd each see each other occasionally. Well, one summer in the mid-90s, it worked out that we were both in town for about a week. We'd do stuff with family in the day, and at night, we'd either catch drinks at a bar or sit outside Joe's house around a fire and talk about the old days. One night, Joe and I got to talking about our Stand By Me trips. Belness Bills Your Beer, a heck of a mix. Soon, we decided to take a day, walk the rails camp one night, and walk home. The day came. We started out early morning. We had my wife drop us off in our old spot where we used to start right outside her hometown. She thought this was absolutely crazy and made sure to mention it. When she pulled away, Joe suggested that instead of walking the usual route, we take the opposite direction just to be adventurous. We knew the land well, we had a map, so I gave her, sure, and off we went. Day was fun and little sad, but in a good way. We found a bridge and sat on the edge, smoked a joint, and moved on. We had no fishing gear, but we brought some canned food and other stuff. Before night started to set in, we picked a spot to camp. It was a thick, forested area, trees on every side of the train tracks, so you felt like you were in a tunnel. We brought small hammocks to sleep on, but before we set them up, we decided to do a little scouting of the perimeter. Now, this is what we used to do in the old days, too. We'd walk the area around a little bit to make sure some dude's house wasn't just over the hill, and we were actually camping in their yard. We walked maybe 100 or so feet into the woods and up a small incline. We figured if we didn't see anything from on top of this short hill, we'd be fine. But when we got to the top, we saw an old building down at the bottom, about 100 yards into the woods. It was barely visible. We pondered over what to do. We both assumed it was a sugar shack or something, because they didn't appear to be a clear road into it. From where we were, there didn't look to be anyone in it either. All was quiet. No movement could be seen. No lights. We decided to walk a little closer just to make sure. We came down the hill very slowly. And as we neared the building, we saw it wasn't a sugar shack at all. It was an old church. It looked like it had been abandoned for years. It was a squat, sagging building whose wooden planks were almost black from years of moss and rot. A cross still stood on top of the place, also weathered black. None of the windows had glass, and there was no doors, just open doorways. We got close enough to see inside. There were rows of pews in the built-up section in front of a preacher to stand. We didn't go all the way in. We didn't want to be beyond all. There was no sign of anything else. No footprints, no paths, no rows. It was an abandoned church. We left immediately, went back up the hill to our spot we had fixed a camp. Having a hill between us and the church made us feel better, but we were still a little uneasy. We chalked it up to the natural creepiness seeing a church in the middle of the woods would elicit. Besides, at this point, it was dusk, and we decide to pick up our hammocks and go to sleep and move on. Early morning, night set in, and we landed our hammocks and shot the breeze. We begin to hear there's something in the direction of the church. Our conversation about it went a little like this. Do you hear that? What is that? Sounds like people singing. And it did sound just like singing. We both slid right out of our hammocks and hunkered down, straining to hear more. We listened for a minute or two, and the singing continued, but it wasn't getting louder. Finally, we decided to creep back up the hill and see if we could spy where the sound was coming from. We would still move very quietly in the woods from the old days. It was second nature to us. The moon was barely out, and it provided enough light. So you wouldn't walk right into a tree, but it was near pitch black. We didn't use flashlights as we crept slowly up the hill, and we didn't talk. And we got to the top, we saw light in the distance. It was coming from the church, and the singing was coming from inside. Joe and I put our heads close together and had a rushed conversation that boiled down to, "Can you believe this?" The light looked to be like candlelight from the way it flickered. And then we tried. We couldn't make out what was being sung. It sounded like church music, but in another language. We sat and watched for a while, trying to see who was in there. But we only saw occasional shadows. We had no intention of getting closer either. We had about a football field length between us, and we aimed to keep it that way. The singing continued for a bit, and then it stopped. After that, a booming male voice began to chant. I was already freaked out, but this voice thoroughly scared the life out of me. It sounded like some Old Testament preacher you could see in movies, but again, it was like he was speaking a different language because we couldn't understand a single word. Eventually, it got to where the single male voice would say something, and then a bunch of voices would answer in song. This lasted for a while.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And then they all broke into this long, sustained wail that just kept getting louder. It got so loud and so disturbing that I covered my ears. And then it stopped. At this point, as I was just getting ready to say, "All right, let's get out of here," when Joe put a hand on my shoulder and his, "They're coming. They're coming out." We were far enough away that we couldn't make them out really well. But what we could see was a line of figures walk out the open doorway or holding hands in single file. We can see some of them had flashlights, and they began to sing again. And the light from the flashlights began to move towards us and the hill. We booked it back down to our campsite, grabbed our stuff, and ran to the tracks. Once there, we ran down the tracks in the direction we had come from. After a few minutes, we stopped and looked back. We saw lights coming down the hill. Then, they were moving erratically, like whoever was holding them was shaking them. We continued to run in spurts and walk as fast as we could. We eventually stopped seeing the lights and came to a road. Borrow map. We knew a small town was about 15 minutes down at 10. We walked there, got to our 24-hour gas station and called my wife to come get us. My wife and other friends all just thought it was kids messing around. But I heard those voices, and they shouldn't sound like kids to me. Not sure who those people were, but it was definitely the creepiest thing that happened to me out in the woods.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.